Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Amen and amen. God is so good. Today, I just want to talk to you guys about the joy of our salvation. And I was telling Sarah, who led beautifully today with the team, that I didn't know that she was going to sing about joy. And I'm like, when I saw that last night, I started bawling my eyes out because I know that this is in the heart of God, the joy of our salvation. And when we hear this line, we often look to Psalm 51, and we know that chapter in Psalm where David wrote as a way of saying sorry to God for his failure, for his mistake with Bathsheba. We all know that story. He prayed earnestly for God to forgive him, and he prayed for the restoration of the joy of God's salvation. Because you know, when you fall into sin, and or maybe you fall into a pattern that is pulling you away from God, we feel condemned. And often when we feel condemned, we don't want to go to God because we feel like he doesn't like us anymore, or we're not worthy, or we're undeserving of God's forgiveness. We lose the joy of God's salvation. But we have this promise in Christ Jesus. And we heard beautifully today when Jane shared that Jesus Christ has laid down his life. He is the Lamb of God. He is the ultimate sacrifice that paid for all the sin, not just for our sin, but the sin of the world. In Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches, church, the riches of his grace. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we heard last week from Pastor Levi when he shared about the prodigal son, when he realized that he messed up big time. And when he decided to go back home, he thought he didn't deserve a place in the family anymore because of the sin that he committed. That's what sin does. It just makes you feel condemned. But we know in that story that the father from a distance saw the son, ran towards the son and clothed him and reminded him, you still have a place. Your identity was never changed. You may have run away, but you are still my son. You are still a daughter of the Most High. So we have this confidence to come boldly to God because of our salvation. This is what Jesus has done on the cross. And there are many promises that affirms that in this word. And church, the more we remember them, the more we speak of them, the more we live them out, the more our joy will increase. Many things will take away or try to steal your joy. But church, if we hold on to the promises, if we just, you know, fight off these lies with the truth, that joy will stay. But today, we will look at the joy of our salvation in light of suffering. The question is, how do we keep our joy, the joy of our salvation, when we are suffering? Suffering can look differently for many of us in our different contexts. But today we will look to Paul, to his letter to the Philippians, and we will discover that there is help, that you bear fruit, and there is this unshakable hope in every situation. An ultimate example will always and always will be Jesus. We'll be reading from Philippians 1. But before we read that, I just want to share a little bit of background. Paul was believed to be in prison when he wrote this letter. This was in response to the Philippian church, which he planted years back. They supported him. They sent him gifts. They sent this a member of their church. His name was Epaphroditus, to bring the gift. And he almost died, actually, meeting Paul. But by the grace of God, he was saved. And we can see that in chapter 2. And Paul was just so grateful. There was this ongoing joke that the Philippian church was like a favorite child. Because when you read this letter, it's so positive. There's so many great things. It's just so much gladness in Paul's tone. But when you compare it to, let's say, Corinthians. There's a lot of drama happening in the Corinthian church, but we'll look at that in the next season. Today, let's look at the Philippian church and how in the midst of suffering, there is hope. Yes, so Paul was in prison, but despite his suffering, we can see the gratefulness in his heart because of the love and support of the people of that church. This actually leads us to the first point. How do we keep the joy of our salvation? Number one, there is help in suffering. Let's all read together Philippians 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you are all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Imagine reading a letter and that talks about how great you are as a church, of a people, of a congregation, that you did not stray from the call, from the gospel. And you know, it just brings us back to home where, you know, Pastor Dave and Pastor Sonia just know that when they're praying for us, that I can just see them brimming with joy and smiles because of you guys, because of us. Not because we want to please them, but because we keep on loving each other. We keep our eyes focused on Jesus. We keep maturing in our faith. And you know, they're able to have a break. We can send them off peacefully knowing that the church will run. Not because we rely on them, but because we are all united in love. We are united in Jesus. So when we see them, when they come back, let's give them a big hug and say, hey, we love you. And we're so glad that you're able to rest. Keep resting. Just know that we are here for you. And that's how Paul felt for the Philippian church. Despite him literally being in prison, in the darkness, he was able to write this because he felt the love of the church. And he says in verse 6, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And just know that Pastor Dave and Pastor Sonia actually are excited to come back and see you all. And let's keep going. Let's keep honoring our leaders. Keep on loving them and praying for them. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. You know, if you read Acts and study the life of Paul, after his conversion, he always encountered persecution. He was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was sent to prison, he was bitten by a snake, he almost died, misjudged, gossiped about. He had haters everywhere. All for what? Living out the call of God in his life. Yet, in this letter, maybe he did complain, I don't know, but in this letter, he was brimming with joy, with assurance, because he didn't see his pain. He felt the love of the church around him, the prayers of the people who love him. He carried on because despite all the haters and the trouble he faced, there is help from God and from the people who genuinely love him and care for him. Church, we are not alone. All of us here have our own kind of suffering, going through different kinds of difficulties, but your covenant family is here for you. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable. Don't be afraid to ask for help. I remember Ingrid one time shared a testimony that in their life group, they gathered resources and financial help and everything to help a family that was in need. There was no gossip about the person, but it's like, okay, what do you need? And church, in our personal testimony, when we were down and out, we were in need, we felt your love supporting me and my family. You know, I didn't hear anyone say, oh, this and that, this and that. No, like, how can we help you? Hey, are you free today? I just want to give you something. Let's keep doing that, church. Let's keep helping one another. Keep your hands open to bless others. Can you imagine the impact you are making on their life? Paul didn't know whether he will come out of his imprisonment alive. Yet in this letter, he mentioned joy, gladness, rejoicing so many times. Why? He was encouraged by the love and care of his covenant family. So good. Imagine that. Imagine that. It just takes away the focus from your pain. And I'm not saying we deny the pain, but we're not allowing our situation take control of our lives. We're not going to let that struggle define us because, you know, we have a God who looks after us and he promised in his word that he will never leave us or forsake us. And he will equip us for every good work. Amen. Now, how do we keep the joy of our salvation? Number two, we bear fruit in suffering. In verse 12, Paul says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former claim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then, says Paul, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Church, what the enemy meant for evil, God always turns around for good. In this letter, Paul boasts about his imprisonment that instead of him complaining to the church, hey guys, I'm in the dark, haven't showered in 10 days, it stinks, I am hungry, I need help. No, he said, guys, my imprisonment has actually helped advance the gospel. Instead of me complaining to the guards, I say, hey, I am here because of Christ, and this is my conviction. And then he says as well, that instead of the brothers being scared that they could go to prison as well, they became more bold, they became more confident of sharing the gospel. And then the haters, the other Christians, who wanted to outdo Paul in spreading the gospel, shared more. Little did they know that they were actually doing good for the kingdom. Because Paul says, in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Instead of feeling defeated, that he was wrongly imprisoned. Because church, you have to understand, Paul was sent to prison because the religious leaders hated his guts. He kept talking about the resurrection of Jesus. And for them, Jesus is not the Messiah. He was still in the grave. Little did they know that Paul had a literal encounter with Jesus saying, hey, you are persecuting me and I am alive today and you are persecuting my people. So that's his true conviction that God is alive. Jesus is alive today. And the Pharisees were not going to stop him, but they did everything they can to stop the gospel. But did the gospel stop? No, it didn't. Because the brothers, the sisters, the church kept growing and spreading the gospel. So although Paul did everything he can to serve God, and he was still wrongly imprisoned, accused, beaten, and just sent to prison, even the government at the time couldn't find a way, a lawful reason to kill him, but the others wanted to. They sent him to prison anyway just to calm everyone down. He could have complained, but did he? He could have said, Lord, it's not fair. But instead, he saw the fruit and rejoiced in what God has done through his suffering. You know, when we received Noah's diagnosis, when he was first born, we were told that he has this rare disease in his stomach. Most of you guys know the story, but and he would definitely need a surgery at 6 weeks old. And I was crying and begging God, God, please, no, take it away from him. Heal him. Give it to me instead. I remember saying that three days after giving birth. I was so emotional. I was so upset. And I was like, Lord, it's not fair. He's just a baby that you know, he didn't do anything wrong. And because I thought that it was a punishment for my mistakes, which, by the way, is a wrong theology, church. So I prayed earnestly. Did God heal him instantly the day after? Did the doctor say, hey, your son's okay? Actually, he's not going to have surgery anymore. No, he didn't. Instead, he needed to have that surgery, and he did. And actually, for the first 2 years of his life, he had surgeries and complications that we lost count of. And I was like, wow. Did I complain? You bet I did. It was hard. It was so it was so difficult. Like, Lord, you said this, you said that. Why is he not getting healed? We get a moment of relief when he's okay, and then the next month he's sick again. And I was just so tired of that. And all I could remember was sitting in the hospital and trying to distract myself from the struggle of it, because it's just so hard to comprehend. So I would just be, while Noah's asleep, I'll read my Bible, but then I'll watch shows just to kind of distract myself. But is he well today? Noah, yes, he is. Is he smart? Is he just the cheekiest boy I know? Yes, he is. And can I testify to his healing today? I definitely can. He is so well. He is like normal, like nothing even happened to him, except you will see the scar in his stomach. Now, what is the fruit of that? Now, God was shaping my faith that although I did not get the answer to the prayer that I prayed, God is still good. God is still worthy to be praised. God still heals. To this very day, miraculously, I was at Healing Rooms yesterday, and the miraculous healings we received was incredible. You know, God, although we don't hear from him, he's still worthy to be praised. He is still alive today. Keep pushing, keep praying. And in your difficult situation, no matter what that looks like, ask him today, God, how can you use my situation to proclaim Christ so that I can rejoice? And lastly, there is hope in suffering. Let's read Philippians 1:18. And in that I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice, Paul says, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as I always Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Church, there is hope when you encounter suffering. Paul knew that there is reward waiting for him, not a material or honorary reward for the hard work that he did. No, it's not that reward. The reward of being with Jesus in person. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He wanted so badly to be with Jesus, and he wanted so badly to be with his friends in Philippi. He doesn't know what his future would look like. He doesn't know, but his confidence is in the truth that no matter what happens, whether to live or die, Christ is glorified. This future that he has is in Jesus. And he says in chapter 3 that our citizenship is in heaven. Being with Jesus in person, that is our future. You know, church, suffering is never the end of the story. In the midst of it, it feels that way, but God never leaves us or forsakes us. And, you know, it is believed that after writing this letter, moments after that, he was actually sentenced to death. And he never got to see the church again. But he said this in Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. You know, in the meantime, while we wait, let us endure, knowing that there is help available. There is fruit in every situation, and a hope that does not put us to shame. You know, he kept preaching Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. And yes, he may be shamed by the world around him, but when he met Jesus, when he's now in heaven with Jesus, he's like, yes, this is all worth it. This is all worth it. Church, when you kept praying and praying for that person, or you kept praying and praying, your hours of time spent in prayer, that is worth so much more. That is just, it counts so much more than what we know. With you spending time at church, you spending time with that person, just loving on them, your resources given to someone, the financial gifts that you give, people will say, that's ridiculous. How do you know that you're going to get back something back from them? No, it's not about that. Because this is my faith. This is who I am in Jesus. Jesus gave, so I am giving. Jesus prayed, so I am praying. Jesus loved, so I am loving. Jesus forgave, so I am forgiving. You know, they say, why do you even spend time so much in church? Why do you even spend time in that life group? No one even comes. Why do you even wait for that person to reply to your text message? They're not going to reply. Keep going. Keep going. You may not see the fruit now, but just know that there is fruit coming. There is fruit coming in due season. This hope that we have will not put us to shame. The world will tell you it's all pointless, but God sees them all, and there is always a supernatural spiritual fruit. You're singing today, you're worshiping that people say, oh, that's so silly, the way you dance, the way you lay down, the way you kneel. Nah, we're not worshiping for the eyes of the people around us. We're worshiping to the eyes of Jesus. And this is what our joy is. This is the joy of our salvation. It may look ridiculous to the world, but I'd rather be ridiculous in my faith, knowing that I have done the work that God has given me. And Jesus will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Keep going, church. Suffer for our faith. Not saying go out there and purposely suffer, but you will encounter struggles in life. Family breakdown, loss of a job, financial hardship, diagnosis, it will be difficult. But the Lord promised, he said, take heart, but take heart, I have overcome the world. If I could invite the team to join us. You know, throughout the gospel, or in the New Testament, the letters, we know that Paul played an incredible role in sharing the gospel to the world. What an incredible achievement. This is the call in his life. Acts 9:15, the Lord said, he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. What an incredible call in his life. We often forget the second line though. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. And this is not, you know, to punish Paul for previously persecuting the church. No, it's just that there will be setbacks because the enemy will stop the move of God, to stop the salvation of your family member, to stop the salvation of your friend, of our community, of the world. But God has equipped us for every good work. You know, I believe and I have no doubt that you and I here has a call in our lives, an incredible call to do great things for God. However, we only often hear the good bit of the vision. We forget that oftentimes there is suffering that we will encounter. Suffering of following Jesus, denying the flesh, that instead of sleeping peacefully at night, God wakes you up, hey, I want you to pray for this. Or getting that extra hour of sleep, I'm gonna get up and pray. Or coming to Bible study or to your life groups, although it's one or two person coming. Or meeting with that person that doesn't seem to get it, but you still love them anyway. Spreading the gospel or sharing the gospel to your workmate who just doesn't get it. Keep going. Keep going. Or maybe you have been afflicted with so much illness, or your family It's just, you know, you're praying for that child. It's just keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Paul says in chapter 3, verse 11, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And the best example that we look to, we find it in chapter 2. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him above and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, if we don't need to look further, but the example of Jesus' life is an example of suffering for the truth, suffering for the gospel. He has so many haters, but his Father, our Father, helped him all throughout. He has his disciples, but although they don't get it yet, they were still with him. And he had other friends that are not mentioned in the Bible who also loved on him. And Jesus kept preaching to the masses. He preached at Mount Sinai when most of them will eventually yell out, crucify him, crucify him. He still knows that there is fruit. So he kept going and kept going. And I could just picture him at the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying, probably the enemy was taunting him, saying, hey, what you're doing is pointless. No one's even going to listen to you. They're all going to turn against you. Or, you know, you're dying for no reason. No, his hope is in the promise. His hope is on you guys. His hope that all of us and the world will come to him and know him. That although it costed him his life, the reward is even greater. And that is eternity with all of us. He didn't want us to suffer. He didn't want us to be left alone and suffering in our sin and shame and suffering from the curse of death. He said, I will die so that you all, so that the world can experience me, but they need to know me. And church, that is our job. Our job is to tell the world of what Jesus Christ has done. Instead of complaining and gossiping and saying, oh, this is not working out. Jesus died for the church. Paul died for the gospel. Let's die to ourselves and the things that we think are good. Things that are good for us, and say, God, what is it, Lord? How can you use my life as a testimony of your goodness? How can you use my situation to proclaim Christ so that I can rejoice? Let's all stand here together. I don't know what situation you're in today when you walked in, or what you're struggling with. I don't know what that diagnosis is. I don't know the situation of you and your family. I don't know where your faith is at. I don't know your financial situation. I don't know if you still want to believe, because the more you believe, you keep believing and believing, and God, these are your promises. I keep doing the right things, but I'm not getting the answer. I'm still at a loss. I'm still confused. I'm still getting this. I am still sick. My son or my daughter still hasn't come to you. I'm still not getting the work, or I'm still being mistreated at my workplace. My marriage is still not working out. How can I have joy in my salvation when there is so much happening around me? Church, let's go back to the word of Jesus. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome. overcome the world. Jesus, thank you for that promise. Thank you that you are close to our suffering, that you have suffered first, Lord, and you know everything that we are going through, and you have all the answer. I thank you that there is comfort in you. You promised in your word to come to you who are weary and heavy laden, and you will give us rest, so we will come to you. And today, church, as a prophetic act, as a prophetic act, we will rejoice in the midst of our suffering. We're gonna sing, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." We're gonna declare that, because our situation does not define our faith. The Lord defines our faith. The goodness of God defines our faith. His goodness, His mercy, His love defines our faith. So church, join me and declare that today. Let's sing all together. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.